One of the joys of being old is that I have a whole box full of sermons. Thirty-five years in West Lafayette and a dozen years before that. So I got sermons. So today you get a choice. I've done this before. You can pick the sermon. Here are the choices. A Mother's Day sermon. Mother's Day sermon, that seems to fit. And it is my Mother's Day sermon where I tell you how subversive Mother's Day is. This is not the same as my Mother's Day sermon where I say something sentimental about Mother's Day. I pick the one where Mother's Day is subversive, so that's the one you get. If you want a sentimental one, go to the Art Museum in Chicago, because Mary Cassatt is on all winter long, and you can learn all about the artistic presentation of motherhood. And the other one is about higher education. The lesson from Acts, because of the way the lectionary is structured, usually turns up at the end of a semester, at final exams, at dead week, or at graduation. And guess what? Here it is today. So I'm happy to tell you all about the difficulty that we have working in higher education. Those are the two sermons. Mother's Day, higher ed. I haven't told you to raise your hand yet. How do you know what's going to be the first one? Okay, let's go. Mother's Day sermon. Okay, higher ed sermon. Oh, Mother's Day wins by about 2-1. You weren't bad. It wasn't a bad choice. Yeah, okay. Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of those commemorations that if you have a job like I had for years, you have to figure out what to do with it. It's like Thanksgiving and the 4th of July. People expect you to say something about it, but it's not in the Bible. Jesus was nice to his mother, but he never said, "Some Sunday in spring, would you please celebrate Mother's Day in North America?" Never did that. Same thing with 4th of July, Thanksgiving. But you can't ignore it. In the U.S., Mother's Day begins with Julia Ward Howe in 1870. Julia Ward Howe was raised Episcopalian but became Unitarian, as people are wont to do who are Episcopalian. I just keep moving that right. Some of you will know her as the woman who composed the lyrics to the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which was to the tune of John Brown's Body. She tried to reclaim the tune. And she was a suffragette, she was an abolitionist, and she was committed to the cause of pacifism, of peace. And so, as the Civil War ended, Julia Ward Howe came up with a Mother's Day proclamation. A Mother's Day proclamation. And this is it. Julia Ward Howe, 1870. Arise then, women of this day. Arise, all women who have hearts, whether our baptism be that of water or of tears. Say firmly, we will not have great questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking with carnage for caresses and applause. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender of those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. From the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm. Disarm. The sword is murder. It is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence vindicate possession. As men have often forsaken the plow and the anvil at the summons of war, Let women now leave all that may be left of home for a great and earnest day of counsel. Let them meet first as women to bewail and commemorate the dead. Let them then solemnly take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each bearing after his own kind the sacred impress, not of Caesar, but of God. In the name of womanhood and of humanity, I earnestly ask that a general congress of women, without limit of nationality, may be appointed and held at some place deemed most convenient at the earliest period consistent with its objects, to promote the alliance of different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, and the great and personal interests of peace. There is not a Hallmark card in Walgreens that says that. There isn't. Julia Ward Howe's cause was picked up in the early 20th century by Anne Marie Jarvis, who was interested in repairing the breaches that had been created by the Civil War. She wanted to honor women in their contributions to society, and her sentiment was picked up by the World Sunday School Association, which was sort of like going online and getting lots of followers, right? This worked out very well. In 1914, Woodrow Wilson established the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day and asked that all women be honored, particularly those who had worked to reunite the nation after the Civil War. It was initially called Mother's Friendship Day. And by the time Anne Rhys Jarvis reached old age, she had had it with Mother's Day. She had tried during the last years of her life to rescind Mother's Day because she could not believe that it had become the property of the greeting card companies, the florists, and the candy companies. For her efforts, they put her in an insane asylum. Yeah. And Mother's Day lived on, not as either Julia Ward Howe would have thought or Anne Marie Jarvis. Mother's Day is subversive. It is even subversive within the Christian tradition. Mary's utterance of the Magnificat goes like this: pull down the mighty from their thrones, exalt the humble and the meek, fill the hungry with good things, send the rich away empty. And honoring the Virgin Mary became a way to get around the patriarchy in Western Christendom. Jesus, who celebrated the outcast and so celebrated women, raised up a following of women leaders within his early church, which by the time you get to the pastoral epistles, is a scandal. So they're busy fixing that, so that the only people who can be in charge are men in good first marriages with children. Nobody else. But we are celebrating mothers and the subversive character of doing exactly that. Within the Christian community, there is a famous quote from Julian of Norwich, and you've probably heard this before: God is our mother. And it goes like this. This is from Revelations of Divine Love, and we are in the 14th century. It is characteristic of God to overcome evil with good. Jesus Christ, therefore, who himself overcame evil with good, is our true mother. We received our being from him, and this is where his maternity starts. And with it comes the gentle protection and guard of love, which will never cease to surround us. Just as God is our father, so God also is our mother. And he showed me this truth in all things, especially in those sweet words when he said, "It is I am the power and the goodness of the Father, I am the wisdom of the mother, I am the light and the grace which is blessed love, I am the Trinity, I am the unity, I am the supreme goodness of all kind things. I am the one who makes you love, I am the one who makes you desire, I am the never-ending fulfillment of all true desires. Our highest Father, God Almighty, who is being, has always known us and loved us. Because of this knowledge and through his marvelous and deep charity, with the unanimous consent of the Blessed Trinity, he wanted the second person to become our mother and our brother and our Savior. It is thus logical that God, being our Father, be also our mother. Our Father desires, our mother operates, and our good Lord and the Holy Ghost confirm. We are thus well advised to love our God through whom we have our being, to thank him reverently, and to praise him for having created us, and to pray fervently to our mother, so as to obtain mercy and compassion, and to pray to our Lord, the Holy Ghost, to obtain help and grace. Julia Norwich was a woman who had walled herself into the side of a church and prayed and meditated on the visions of God that became hers. All this we shall see in God eternally, she says. There is something about Mother's Day that is subversive of our religious imagination and of our cultural imagination. Mother's Day is culturally subversive. It becomes more and more common in our culture to handcuff women to a biological determinism, to make babies to fight in Christian nationalist crusades. What if motherhood, in fact, led to the abolition of those kinds of restrictions? What if there is a hysterical strength that comes with motherhood? And you know all of those stories, right? The mother lifts the car off her son, fights off the polar bear, right? A certain hysterical strength. A hysterical strength that is demonstrated when a woman flees domestic violence and an alcoholic husband. The hysterical strength that opposes the gun lobby after a school shooting. The hysterical strength that possesses a state legislator with a trans child to oppose federal regulation that outlaws gender-affirming care. What would you do if you loved someone? How strong would you be, and how would you be able to stand a life where you did not act against the restrictions and obstructions that had threatened the ones you loved? If you love someone, you will act in a way that is subversive, which will go beyond whatever the norm is, to secure the safety and the nurture of the one you love. My mother was a really great Roman Catholic until I left the Roman Catholic Church, when she immediately decided that it was a terrible kind of religion. What would you be like? What are you like when you love something to that extent? I have a colleague at the University of Missouri who printed this in his bulletin every Mother's Day, and I share it with you. It moves towards the sentimental, so you can take that as my last word today. It is unknown, but I thank Reverend Lance Robbins in Webster, New York. We are sitting at lunch when my daughter casually mentions that she and her husband are thinking of starting a family. "We're taking a survey," she says. "Do you think I should have a baby?" "It will change your life," I say, carefully, keeping my tone neutral. I know, she says. "No more sleeping in on weekends, no more spontaneous vacations." But that is not what I meant at all. I look at my daughter trying to decide what to tell her. I want her to know what she will never learn in childbirth classes. I want to tell her that the physical wounds of childbearing will heal, but that becoming a mother will leave her with an emotional wound so raw she will be forever vulnerable. I look at her manicured nails, her stylish suit, and think that no matter how sophisticated she is, becoming a mother will reduce her to the primitive level of a bear protecting her cub. That the urgent call of mom will cause her to drop a souffle or her best crystal without a moment's hesitation. I feel I should warn her that no matter how many years she invested in a career, she will be professionally derailed by motherhood. She might arrange for childcare, but one day she will be going into an important business meeting and she will think only of her baby's sweet smell. She will have to use every ounce of her discipline to keep from running home. However decisive she may be in the world, she will second-guess herself constantly as a mother. Looking at my daughter, I want to assure her that eventually she will shed the pounds of pregnancy, but she will never feel the same about herself. That her life now, so important, will be of less value to her once she has a child. That she would give it up in a moment to save her offspring, but will also hope for more years, not to accomplish her own dreams, but to watch her child accomplish theirs. I want her to know that a Caesarean scar or a shiny stretch mark will become badges of honor. My daughter's relationship with her husband will change, but not in the way she thinks. I wish she could understand now how much more you can love a man who is careful to powder the baby and who never hesitates to play with his child. I think she should know that she will fall in love with him again for reasons she would now find very unromantic. I wish my daughter could sense the bond she will feel with women throughout history who have tried to stop war, prejudice, drunk driving. My daughter's quizzical look makes me realize that tears have formed in my eyes. You will never regret it, I finally say. Motherhood is subversive. Motherhood is dangerous, whether your child is naturally born or the one that you adopt or the life that you cherish in the world. Motherhood is subversive. And it undoes all of the rules, all of the passions that those of us who are old and men think are important. Happy Mother's Day. Amen.